So what do we talk about in therapy today? My good friend and colleague, Dr. Lisa Frieden, joins me to talk about what we're seeing on our couches. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Nero Feliciano, and welcome to the All Things Life podcast. I'm a wife, a mom of four, and a cognitive psychotherapist. And I'm really excited to share these conversations and interviews with you that will hopefully help you live a healthier, fuller, and more peaceful life.
Well, welcome back to All Things Life. And if you're listening to this on the day it's released, it is Wednesday. Today, my partner and colleague, Dr. Lisa Frieden, joins me to talk about what we're seeing on our couches. And it's kind of a joke between us. We always have to explain what partner means in our context because we are both married. And we also feel like in some ways we're married to each other. She is my work wife. We have been working together for the past 12 years, actually longer, maybe 14 years. And we ended up buying a building together, our office building, and starting our larger mental health and wellness group. We decorated that building from Home Goods in Joss, Maine. So in many ways, we feel as if we're married and we do a lot of the same work. So it's really just a pleasure to have her here. She is an expert in her field. She's an anxiety specialist. She also specializes in biofeedback. And we thought we'd talk about the things that we're seeing in therapy just because it's often a mirror for what's going on in the world, some of the issues our clients are dealing with, and also just how it impacts us as therapists doing this work while we're also living our own lives. So this episode, Tales from the Couch, you might see again in several weeks when we talk about something else. But let me tell you a little bit about Lisa. She is a licensed clinical psychologist and, as I mentioned before, anxiety specialist, but also has a background in pain management. She specializes in individual therapy with adolescents and adults to treat anxiety, phobias, panic, OCD, stress, sleep disorders, medical and health concerns, infertility, work career issues, relationship problems, and life transitions. She does it all. She is also the co-founder and co-director of Integrative Counseling Wellness Group with me. And her approach to therapy is solution-focused, non-judgmental, collaborative, and supportive. She also utilizes cognitive behavioral therapy, which, if you didn't know, is an evidence-based treatment that's effective at managing a wide range of conditions, but especially anxiety. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So it is my pleasure to welcome my dear friend and colleague, Lisa Frieden, to the podcast. This is our conversation today. Lisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I am so happy you're here. And I just explained to everybody in the intro what our relationship is about.
Yes. our special relationship.
Our special relationship, how we have to explain to everybody what that means.
Right.
But I think this is going to be a great episode and something that we can do periodically because often you and I know we get a pulse on what's going on in the world and what people are feeling based on what we're hearing in session.
Absolutely.
So tell me, what are you seeing on your couch, your virtual couch, because we're actually exactly. not in the room with people anymore.
A lot of the conversations I'm having with my patients and even seeing in my own personal life is different comfort levels with things reopening and the internal and interpersonal conflict it's causing for people. Whether it's feeling uneasy about certain social situations or being on different pages from friends, coworkers, even family members, it's creating a lot of stress and anxiety for people.
It absolutely is. So we're in this time where, you know, at least for us in the Northeast, and that's not the same for other states, but our numbers are going down. We are reopening, and although who knows what that's going to look like after 4th of July, but there still is a very pervasive anxiety that people are feeling about doing life right now.
Yeah, right? It's interesting because it seems so impossible that we were going to have to stay inside and quarantine 24/7 for months. And now that it's reopening, we're just as anxious about doing that, or many people are, right, you know, about going back out into the world and what that looks like. And there's even now sort of a new form of anxiety that's been dubbed reentry anxiety. And it's something that people are really experiencing.
So how have you seen it happen, and what sort of examples have you seen with your clients or just personally?
Well, I think personally, there's a lot of different levels of comfort with friends. Some people are really comfortable going out to restaurants and want to make plans to go out for dinner, or they want to go and have a bunch of different couples or families in their backyard and share a meal together. And not, it's different for everyone. And some people feel completely fine with that, and others aren't so comfortable with it. And it puts people in an awkward position, because you, of course, want to be with your friends again, but then if you show up and you feel like you should wear a mask, and that feels kind of awkward if nobody else is, or if you don't feel like you should be sharing food, but everybody else is sharing the food, it puts people in a weird position where they kind of just want to avoid that and don't really want to put themselves in those situations.
And they're awkward conversations to have.
They are.
Right? Especially with people who are close to you, who you may have felt like you were tracking with for a long time. And suddenly people have changed. And you and I know this, different people cope with anxiety in different ways. And for some, avoidance, you know, it's better not even to think about it or deal with it and just go on as normal now, right, is some of their coping skills.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that some people, you know, really don't feel comfortable having that conversation. And it makes you feel kind of distant from friends or family members who don't get it. You might feel judged by them, might feel like they think that you're being overcautious, or that you have anxiety and that you're making more out of it than you need to. But some people need, you know, everyone needs to do what they feel comfortable with. And the truth is, there is still a threat out there, even though the numbers are down in our area. And, you know, it seems relatively safe right now.
Right. It was interesting. This weekend, we had a family over, and they're good friends of ours, and definitely different comfort levels with being even outside at a distance. And I could tell that the husband felt very uncomfortable and wanted to wear masks and everything, which is fine. And as I was talking with him and listening, one of the things that I realized, and it's crazy that I haven't thought about it in this way before, even though you and I know this, it just hasn't come to the forefront of my mind regarding this situation. People cannot help being anxious, right? And we're looking, right, at it as something that they should control, and uh-huh, they should be aware of, and how it's impacting other people around them. But if they are anxious, they can't help it. You and I know that anxiety very much is an illness.
Yes.
And sometimes anxiety is warranted, and sometimes it is absolutely protective. But when it gets to the point where it becomes something different, right? And some people may look at it as irrational, but that person feeling it does not look at it as irrational.
Right.
They can't help it. So we have to be able to remember that when we fall into that place of judgment, because honestly, we have to practice being non-judgmental. Our mind constantly is making judgments. It is the way, right, we navigate our world. It's the way we assess our safety. So
yes,
can you talk a little bit about practicing that non-judgment when we're thinking about anxiety?
Yes. I mean, you know, when we see patients in our office who have an anxiety disorder, it's pretty clear that their anxiety is based on irrational fears and hypotheticals. This isn't exactly hypothetical. So I think we have to be really open-minded to meeting people where they're at, and be flexible and understand that not everybody sees this situation the same way. And that doesn't mean that they're wrong, and it doesn't mean that they have an anxiety disorder.
Right.
You know, I think that some people may be at higher risk. They may be living or exposed to family members who are at higher risk, and they want to be extra cautious because of that. We have to be respectful of that. And, you know, just because we might be comfortable with something doesn't mean that it's wrong for someone else to have their own reservations about those things. So, you know, I think this is a really variable situation for everyone, and we just have to be open-minded.
So let's talk a little bit about, if you are that person feeling anxious about re-entering the world, what are some of the things that you can do?
Well, what I'm seeing is that there's really two types of reentry anxiety. There's fear of catching or spreading COVID, and then there's discomfort with resuming social activities. So I think it depends on what exactly the anxiety is stemming from. But if it's stemming from fear of catching or spreading the virus, then of course that's going to be more geared toward doing what you feel safe doing. And again, I think we have to be careful to define what's an anxiety, you know, sort of quote unquote disorder from what is just anxiety. And anxiety, like you said, has an adaptive function. We feel anxious because it helps us to protect ourselves from any kind of threat. Now, coronavirus is a real threat. So it is something that isn't irrational. But if you feel like it is interfering with your daily life, if you're not leaving the house, if you're cleaning for hours, if you're spending an hour cleaning your groceries or washing your hands more times than is necessary, then it's something that really should be addressed.
And when we talk about necessary, we're talking about based on what the CDC recommends, what we're hearing about in science is helpful and protective. So if you're going so much above and beyond that, and it is interfering with your life, then it's time to intervene in some way. Right. So one of the things, you know, what was interesting that we talked about early on when COVID first came out, especially as therapists, the things that were clinically significant to us in the past now have taken on a different meaning, right? So even just the washing of your groceries, you know, wiping it down. Right. If we saw someone do that pre-pandemic, we would think
they have probably OCD
or CDP or whatever, right? So, but now it has become normal.
Yeah.
But there's still things that I think if someone's reading and if they're learning about the science and still yet they're unable to let go of some of these things. And if it's impacting your life, is it taking all your time? Is it consuming all your thoughts all the time?
Right, right.
Then we're looking at something that's more than just kind of a protective anxiety.
Right,
right.
Exactly. And in terms of the social anxiety, we've all been living in our own cocoons for 3 to 4 months and feeling really safe in that place. And for many people, going back out into the world, separate of the virus, just interacting with people again and feeling kind of awkward. And it doesn't feel as natural as it used to for many people, making conversation. We haven't really been doing that much. A lot of people don't really know what to talk about. And so they get in their heads and start making it into something that feels a lot more intimidating, and that can create anxiety. And there's also people with pre-existing social anxiety from before. And those people felt a lot of relief being home. And it felt kind of nice to have no expectation to have to go out and do anything social. And now that there is that expectation again, or at least that opportunity, it's creating a big spike in anxiety for those people.
That's so interesting. I think we've seen that across the board with kids who had school anxiety or social anxiety. And when we took them out of the situation, there are many kids who actually have thrived in not having to go back into the the classroom and be in situations with their peers where they felt judged or uncomfortable. And I would say, like you said, the same with adults who had social anxiety. They've been fine. But it's so interesting when you get out of that practice to then re-enter into it can feel uncomfortable and awkward. And then you pair that with the fact that our relationships have changed for many people, right? We're seeing things about people, we're hearing things about people, and then couple that with the fact that we're not on board in terms of how we want to navigate this next season. It can be very awkward and anxiety provoking to be in the company of certain people.
Exactly. And I think that really avoidance is, as we know, is the go-to when it comes to anxiety.
Right.
People want to avoid feeling that way. So they're going to do what makes them feel safer and more comfortable. And for many people, that's continuing to stay home and continuing to stay away from people and situations where they don't feel safe or comfortable, whether it's from the virus or whether it's socially. And that can, as we know, as therapists, just breed more anxiety. And it's really the opposite of what you want to do when you're feeling anxious. We you know, as therapists know, that exposure to the feared situation is what helps you get over that feeling of anxiety.
Right, right. So how do we apply kind of an exposure perspective to reentry here?
Okay, so with exposure therapy, if we were to do it formally in our office or with patients, we would want to come up with a what we call a hierarchy and create a list from least to most anxiety-provoking situations and gradually expose our patients to those situations with some guidance as to how to remain calm and combat anxiety as you're confronting those situations. So for example, if somebody's really anxious about leaving and even being out in public, we would probably start with having them just have someone who they feel really safe and comfortable with come over outside with a mask on 6 feet apart for 15 minutes and just get comfortable with that, as opposed to avoiding seeing all people and not wanting to be around anyone. And that way they can kind of get over that initial anxiety, and then we can increase it from there. Maybe they would see that person for a longer period of time the next time, or maybe they would go out and meet somewhere and go for a walk, something that, you know, they feel won't escalate their anxiety to a degree that they can't cope with it, but enough that helps them desensitize and see that they're okay.
Yes. So a gradual exposure to these different social situations, life situations upon re-entry. Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's really important. I think it's also important to understand as parents the effect of our anxiety on our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's something that we've been talking about this whole time. So have you seen that play out in different ways, especially during this reentry time?
Definitely. I mean, especially with teens and young adults, I've seen a big disconnect between parents and their children. And some kids really feel very comfortable. Their friends are all getting together. They want to get together. And it's a big struggle for parents who don't feel comfortable with that to have to say no to their kids when their friends' parents are all saying yes to it. And then there are kids who really are anxious about it themselves. And they've been exposed more to the media, or they've seen a loved one or family member who's gotten sick from the virus. And people, you know, children and adults are really anxious about being around other people. And then just socially, like you said before, it becomes awkward, especially for younger kids who haven't been with their peers for a long time, to then get around other kids, and they can't play the same way that they normally would. Mm. They can't interact closely. And so it's awkward. They're not really sure
mm-hmm.
how to behave, what to say to each other.
I think that makes it tough for the kids. And what my thought too, and I'm thinking kind of longer term, you know, if this continues the way they're predicting, and if there is a second wave, we know come colder weather up here or winter, or even if you're not in cold weather, but if we do have this second wave, we're going to be separated again. Right. We're coming indoors
right.
again. So I
right.
do think one thing to consider, whether you're anxious or not, is what is a safe way to get our kids to interact with each other and socialize? What are ways that you're comfortable with? And I think I mentioned on the podcast before, we've done these outdoor movies for the kids where we mm-hmm. can separate them, but they're still close enough to talk. It's outside. So, and what the research is suggesting, that outside and especially between kids, transmission is so low.
Right.
But we have to begin to think about our kids' mental health right now.
Absolutely.
Because we're looking at potentially, you know, I mean, we're already looking at a mental health crisis, but especially for kids, this is a situation that we're seeing develop, right? And young kids, teens, especially in that teenage group. But what are ways that we can encourage that now in a way that's safe based on the research?
Exactly.
Right?
And it's difficult because teens aren't really interested in being supervised. They want their independence. And
right.
it's hard to know if you can really trust that they're going to be appropriately socially distanced, wear their masks, do the things that is, you know, are recommended by the CDC when they're not under your watchful eye.
Right. And hopefully that is correct, that transmission between kids is low.
Right.
And I feel like in our part of the world, we're in our part of the country, we're a little bit safer just because these numbers are lower, but still that can change. We all know what can happen in a week, right?
Right, right.
So no, I think we have to think about that. But also if you're an adult that's particularly anxious, we have to start to think about how is my anxiety being transmitted to the kids? How can it impact them? How is it affecting them?
Right.
Because kids are picking up on it too. And that may be the cause of their awkwardness in their own social interactions with other kids, right?
Yes, of course.
The things that you've said to them, the things that you've told them. So that's why I think keeping our own anxiety and modeled.
They pick up on what they see. And, you know, I think that makes a big impact on how they behave with other people. And sometimes they might even rebel because they're sick of hearing about it and they just want to have a normal interaction with a friend. And, you know, maybe you've told them way too many times how serious this is and how careful you need to be. And they just don't really want to think about that anymore.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I think too, the other factors that it can impact us feeling anxious that we may not necessarily correlate, but are very real. I mean, part of it, the unknown about school. I know many parents are already anxious and stressed out about that. The fact that people aren't sleeping like they normally do these days because of anxiety, the uncertainty of jobs and job stress, or how am I going to work in the fall and manage kids at home if that is a piece of it. So we're seeing the anxiety come from so many different areas. And then the fact that people aren't sleeping, they're not coping with things optimally.
Exactly.
And that, I mean, that affects us as therapists too, right?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, that's one of the really interesting things about this situation as a therapist is normally we're seeing people with problems that we may or may not be able to relate to. In this situation, this is happening to us just as much as it's happening to our patients. And so we're going through it together and it's affecting us just as it's affecting them. And so that's been a really unique aspect of being a therapist, is being able to really be on the same wavelength as our patients about what they're going through right now.
And I think it can go both ways too, right? It can make us more empathetic with what they're going through, but it can also, I mean, to be all honest, make us more frustrated, right? Because, you know, we may be facing some big situations in our life and the last thing we want to do is minimize some of the challenges some of them have, but they may not be as significant in some ways or have the same impact on their life as things that we might be going through right now.
Right, right. Yes, definitely. And it's something that we really have to be aware of, because what they're experiencing is very real and very important to them. And, you know, as a therapist, we're there for them. So of course we can't let whatever we're going through impact that. But some people are stressed out about work, or they're stressed out about having their kids home and they're frustrated with their kids, where someone else may have a family member who's on a ventilator in the hospital.
Right.
You know, so while we're all dealing with the same thing, we're not all dealing with the same specifics of how this is impacting us.
Right. And for you and I, we're both married to physicians that have worked through this time. Right. So there is also, especially when things were really bad here, we lived with that everyday risk of someone coming home potentially with having COVID. Right.
Right.
And then that we have to compartmentalize to be able to be supportive of our clients. So I think that's been the challenge for us as clinicians as well during this time.
Right. And it's really a matter of managing our own anxiety, right?
Yes.
Because it is anxiety provoking having someone who's exposed come into your house. And especially when, as you know, my husband has been relatively anxious about the situation and trying to not let that make me more anxious and be able to maintain the way that I cope with it and help to sort of manage my own stress about the situation. So, and that's really our job in helping our patients to do too, is look at this in the most rational way that they can and control what they can. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to this situation, whether it's with the virus, whether it's with what's going to happen with school, with lockdown again, a second wave. We have no idea what's to come. And that is the very thing that breeds anxiety.
Yes, that unknown and not having the ability to control it. But like you said, that's why this is a great time to learn and develop some of the coping skills that are going to help you regardless of what the situation is. And exactly. I think I feel very grateful that we have those. And I feel grateful that there are many clients who have those who have been using them. And we've seen that they've become, that they've been really effective. Can you talk quickly just about the 5-4-3-2-1? Because I think that's a great coping skill that people can use acutely in those moments that they're anxious.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, as I know you've talked about before, and what I think is one of the most important things to do when you're feeling anxious or even just overwhelmed and stressed is breathing. So being able to slowly breathe. There's a lot of different forms of breathing, and I know you've talked about some, and I won't go into detail about it, but even just slowing down your breath and counting into the count of 4 or 5 and out to the count of 5 or 6 or 7, so it's a longer exhale than inhale, just helps to offset that sympathetic fight or flight response. And then if you couple that with some grounding techniques and mindfulness, so bringing yourself back to the present moment, that can be really helpful to offset that anxious response. And so the technique that you just mentioned, the 5-4-3-2-1, is a grounding technique that helps to bring your awareness into what's happening around you right now. So what you would do is try and notice and even name in your head 5 things that you can see right now, 4 things that you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. And the purpose of doing that is that it really engages your senses and your attention into what's happening in that moment, and it can distract you from the anxious thoughts or anxious stimuli that's escalating that experience, whether it's physical or mental anxiety.
It's so helpful, and you can do that anywhere, and it will redirect your thoughts. It'll take your mind, even for those few moments, away from what you're thinking. And that actually is part of the key to cognitive therapy, right? Being able to replace thoughts and reprogram. So that's so helpful. That's a great technique to practice. What we encourage is you to talk to someone, a spouse, a partner, a friend, a family member. Don't keep the anxiety silent, because you actually give more power to it when we don't talk about it. How many times, exactly, Lisa, do people come in your office and say, I mean, you've done nothing, but they've talked about their story, and what do they say at the end of it?
Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
Are you paying attention to me, therapist?
I am paying attention, but I was just thinking about what you were saying about getting support from a friend, family member, you know, that it's so important to do that.
Right, right. And also, I mean, just even telling your story, don't you feel like they feel so much better?
Oh, yes. It's a huge relief to share what's been on your mind, especially if you're holding it in. And one of the things that we always tell people as therapists is that holding in your feelings, keeping your thoughts to yourself, just magnifies it. And then it's going to come back stronger at some later point. And many times it comes out physically.
Yes.
So that also is a big risk factor when it comes to anxiety in this, in the area of this virus, because people are anxious about the symptoms of the virus, and anxiety can mimic those symptoms.
Absolutely.
So if you're holding in your anxiety and in your mind you're thinking, I'm feeling short of breath, or I'm feeling lightheaded, maybe I have COVID, it's more likely that you have anxiety and that you just aren't addressing those symptoms, you know, and that they would easily be able to be relieved by doing some of the strategies that we're talking about.
So talk about it, practice some of the breathing techniques, meditation, prayer. I talk about that a lot. but centering, grounding techniques, and they really are powerful. They really do work. Just know that you're not alone if you're feeling anxious about what's to come and the reentry. It's what we're seeing on our couches, respectively. And thank you, Lisa, for coming to talk about this.
My pleasure. And I just want to mention, too, if you're finding that you really are having a hard time leaving your house, if you're struggling with anxious behaviors that are interfering with your day-to-day functioning, then it's probably time to reach out and speak to a professional. And the good thing about anxiety is it's really treatable. Yes. And it's a thing that we see all the time and we like working with because we see results. And so I think it's really important if you're having a hard time like that to get help.
Yep. We see people get better and live very full, productive, healthy lives. I think that's, absolutely, like you said, that's why we like working with anxiety. We know that you can get past it.
Yes.
So awesome to have you here, my work wife.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll definitely have you again for another Tales from Our Couch as we're seeing,
I would love that,
other different types of cases. And we do a lot with relationships. So
yes,
yeah, maybe we'll talk about, yes, that next time.
And things are ever evolving with this situation. So I'm sure there will be other things that come up as we see where this takes us.
Absolutely. So thank you again, Lisa, and thank you all for listening today. And just know, if you're feeling anxious, if that's something you've been struggling with lately, know you're not alone. It's very common. Both of us have seen it. And we're going to continue this conversation about anxiety on the podcast for the next two episodes. So stay tuned. A lot of good information coming at you. So have a great week. Practice some of those techniques. Be well and live full. And I will talk to you again in a few days.
Thanks for listening today. And if you have a second, go on the Apple Podcast app and rate this podcast. I want to know what you liked and what you didn't like and what you want more of. And connect with me. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media at Nero Feliciano, the Incidental Therapist on Facebook, and Nero Feliciano on Instagram. And you can also connect with me through my website, Nero Feliciano. So until the next time, have a great day, be well, and live full.